I was at a funeral here in the sanctuaries a while back, somebody not connected to Maywood at all, but through like a mislabeling, the wrong song got played at one point in the service. So it's a funeral, the whole family's here, it's a somber moment, and then the song that starts playing, it's okay if you're not like a 90s music fan, I think we got a slide with just a little bit of the lyrics. It's a super depressing, maybe we got slides? We're looking for them, so I'll just read them to you. So this is an old Radiohead song, and so it comes on with like, I wish I was special, and then it's just like the song about self-loathing, super depressed, there's cursing in it, and also just super depressed song. And it's like, why are we playing this at this funeral? We realize the mistake, right? And but that song was in my head a little bit because when I was reading the passage we're going to talk about today, right before we get to it, in 1 Peter, and I'll put it up here on the screen a little bit, it talks about the glory of people are like grass, that it dries up and withers away is kind of the image. And so there's this image here of like a dead flower basically in a field. And here's the thing that's so scary about like that self-defeating, like I'm not special, I'm no good, I wish I was, is that like most like evil messaging out there, like there's some possibility or some potential truth to that. Like left to ourselves, we're going to dry up and wither and not really be that good when it's all said and done. And that fear can gnaw at us, right? Like if people really knew me, they wouldn't want anything to do with me. And that's not just like some Radiohead song, right? Like that's stuff I've heard people say in this room. And probably all of us have had that thought at some point. If these people really knew me, they wouldn't love me. They wouldn't want to be with me. But I hear that sort of stuff as your guys' pastor. That like there's deep inside you, there's this, like if you knew all the bad stuff about me, you wouldn't want connection with me. Now it's not just like British pop bands or whatever that talk this way. We're going to jump to a couple slides ahead. This is a Christian song. Joel Anseth, that guy I was talking about last week, he's in a band called Quiet Thrill. And this song is about Jesus approaching with some sort of calling on this person's life. And he's like, you must be thinking I'm someone else. Like, I don't know how I could actually help, right? Like, I'm too much of a mess to be used by you, Jesus. It's actually that same idea, almost, of like the Creep song, right? There's a difference of like, you got some connection with Jesus, but there's still so much self-doubt. Like, I'm not good enough, Jesus. You can do it, Jesus, but not with me. Like, you fix the people, but not with my help. And this sort of stuff I hear at Maywood, too. Goes on, just same idea. Can't you see that I've been falling short of everything I thought I would be? Why do you stay with me? If you're a type of person that talks to Jesus very often, you've probably had that sort of a conversation with Jesus. Of like, I just keep messing up. And at some point, it doesn't make sense, Jesus, that you want anything to do with me. Right? So that's a setup for the passage we're going to read today, is that is inside of a lot of us. I'm not good enough. And we might believe good stuff about Jesus, but the I'm not good enough is holding us back from what Jesus wants to do. So we're going to be reading in 1 Peter. I need you guys to turn here. We got physical Bibles right there in front of you if you need a physical Bible. 1 Peter's almost all the way back at the end of the Bible, but you can use the table of contents to get there. Chapter 2 means like the big number. Verse 4 is the itty-bitty number near there. You can elbow the person next to you. I'll give you permission to do that if you need some help getting there. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. Now, before we read any further, I'm going to try to read it in just a big chunk, but I want to give you some key phrases that are going to come up. Cornerstone, we talked about last week. That's a building term when you're building with block or stone. You set that cornerstone right, and then the rest of the wall, and even the rest of the building, it's all in line with that one stone. So you get that one stone right, and then you judge everything off of, am I in line with that stone or not? And we read in Isaiah, it's going to get quoted in today's passage, read last week in Isaiah, this prophecy about Jesus being the cornerstone. Jesus is the one that God put as like a, here's your example. Everything you do, like line it up with this person, Jesus. Jesus is the perfect image of me. So line up your life with him. Do the things he did. Imitate him, right? So when we're going through our life, we can look to Jesus. We're like, am I in line with Jesus or not? He's the cornerstone. It's also going to talk about being a special people and a priesthood, a royal priesthood. So normally in Israel's history, there were kings and there were priests, both special, but they didn't typically combine. But in Jesus, there's this combination of Jesus is both our king and he's our high priest. A priest, the way that it's getting used here, is this person that goes to God and has a connection with God, and they go to other people. And they're this bridge between God and somebody who needs God. That's what a priest is supposed to do. A king is somebody who has authority, right, and is in charge. Jesus is our royal priest, right? He's a bridge for us to get to God, and he's also our Lord, right? This passage is going to talk about us being like Jesus, royal priest. It's also going to talk about us being a special people or a special nation. A lot of the promises of the Old Testament, God was building people up of like, a don't be slaves, be my special people and be a light to the world. And that's what he wanted for the people of Israel. But here this passage is telling us, you guys might feel scattered, but God actually wants you to be a part of something. He wants you to be special, right? That wish I was special, like God's going to be talking about that in this passage, okay? So that's the setup. We're going to try to read it straight through. Like Daniel was talking about, like we're dependent on God to tell us stuff, right? So as we're reading this, if you don't understand everything, just keep listening. Like, Jesus, tell me what you want me to know, right? Okay? So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, as you come to Jesus, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to God. Verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built together, or being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone, talking about Jesus, is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Now, when we're reading the Bible and reflecting on the Bible, there's a lot of different ways to do that. Reading it over and over, meditating on it, like Daniel was talking about, is one way to do it. Sometimes reflecting through some basic questions can help you, right? It can kind of hold your hand. I'm going to give you some basic questions that are pretty applicable. You could use it in your own Bible study this week, right? Here's a few basic questions you could ask when you're reading something from the Bible. Who is Jesus or who is God? Like, what does it teach us about who Jesus is? What does it teach us about who we are? And what are we going to do? Right? Now, notice I've picked my words here. Instead of saying, what am I going to do? I'm saying, what are we going to do? This passage is written to a group of people. Sometimes we carry stuff around like, I'm special. But actually, like, Jesus is meaning for us to do things together, right? Okay, so we're going to look at each of these one at a time, kind of through this 1 Peter passage. What does it tell us about who Jesus is? So who Jesus is our first question. Let's go to this next picture here. I've got a cinder block here, but with this like pretty flower, right? It's a cinder block that looks like tossed aside. And this passage specifically talks about what happened to Jesus here on earth. There was already an established like people of God, but those leaders pushed Jesus out. Like literally wanted to murder and did get him killed, right? They rejected Jesus. But God chose Jesus and made him the cornerstone, right? Like God brought beautiful, unexpected new life out of what Jesus did. And when we go through life, not everybody's going to like the real Jesus, right? But Jesus is precious to God, that passage talks to us about, right? That word jumped out to me this week, precious. Something that also jumped out to me is like, it says right off the bat, God says Jesus is precious. When God says something, like it's true, right? When God's creating everything, he just says stuff and the power of him saying something like makes it true even, right? Like it creates. Like God's always speaking truth. So when God says Jesus is precious, then like that's true in a foundational sense. But if you were reading real closely, the people who believe in Jesus, they hold that Jesus is precious, right? Like when we start believing, putting our trust in Jesus, a trust that means we actually start doing stuff about it, then we're going to see things the way God sees them. If you're not willing to put in any footwork, if you're not willing to work any program or do anything in response to who Jesus is, you're probably not going to ever see Jesus the way God sees Jesus, right? Like when we don't do the right thing, we can't see the truth. We're blind. But it's in the doing the next right thing that opens up our eyes to the truth about who Jesus is, right? So if you're like, man, I haven't experienced enough about Jesus, start doing the next right thing as you put as much trust in Jesus as you can. Like Jesus will open up your eyes to how precious he is, right? That juxtaposition's in 1 Peter between belief and disobedience, right? They're opposites. Okay, so that tells us who Jesus is. The next question we had was, who are we? And there's a lot of stuff this passage talks about with who we are. I want to take us to one specific spot. So I've got this picture here and this reference. So the passage says things like we're a royal priesthood, God's special possession, right? There's all this really powerful language that's like the opposite of when you're depressed by yourself some evening feeling bad with ice cream in front of you or a bunch of Netflix playing or whatever it is that you're scrolling or whatever, right? All that 1 Peter stuff about like, here's, you're chosen. You're all these positive things. It reminded me of a different way to interpret a really famous parable in Matthew 13. Jesus' parables, these stories are so powerful. And this one's just one verse. I'm going to read it for you. You can flip there if you want to. It's Matthew 13, verse 44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid the treasure again, then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And for a lot of years hearing that parable, hearing that verse, the interpretation I was aware of was God is so good that when you really discover him, you're going to happily give up everything to have God. That's like the popular translation you hear. I don't think it's bad, right? I think that's true. And the thing about parables is like they can teach us a lot of different stuff, right? Someone else taught me this along the way. I didn't have this original thought. It's like you can flip this parable of who's who around to look at it a different way. Because who put in work and then gave up everything for a treasure? Jesus put in work to reach each one of us. Philippians chapter 2 talks about Jesus emptied himself of all this good stuff to get to us. Hebrews talks about he suffered all that stuff with joy. It's like we're the treasure in the field, and Jesus was happy to give up everything, joyful to give up everything to take hold of us. Now, I'm not saying that's the only way you can interpret it, but that's why I got this view here, right? It's like Jesus is digging us out of the ground. Like we're sitting there in darkness until he digs us out and gives up everything to bring us home. Right? Some of us are stuck in our life because we don't realize that to Jesus, we're special. If you've been around church very much, maybe you've heard that before, but if you think back to how you're living your life, do you believe that you're special to Jesus? That he wants you, that he's chosen us, and that he has this amazing thing he wants for us to be about. That you're a treasure, okay? Whatever your past is, you're a treasure. So what are we going to do about it? That's our next question here. What are we going to do about it? Here's a little bit more of this song. Towards the end of it, it gets a little more positive, but it's like a, will you stay with me? And tell me now, what can I do? There's this idea of when you stick with Jesus, he starts to reassure you, and you're like, you know what, Jesus, if you stick around, I could do something. And it reminds me of Moses in Exodus 33, great chapter, but Moses is so desperate for God's presence. And he's like, God, if you're not with us, like, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I'm hopeless without you. It's okay to be like Moses and be like, I'm hopeless, as long as you finish up the sentence with, I'm hopeless without you, God, right? As long as you're like, I can go anywhere as long as your presence goes with me. Like, that's the right way to be. Then we're ready to go do something, right? If Jesus is with us, what are we supposed to do? Well, here, the Peter passage tells us God made us to declare the praises of God, right? He wants to inhabit us as a group to praise God. And some of us, we see this and we're like, okay, well, we just sang some. Like, is that what everything's really about? If it does, you know, that first song we were singing about, like when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his what? His praise than when we first began. Sometimes we hear that and we're like, I don't want to sing for that long, or I don't want a church service that goes on for 10,000 years or something, you know, like, it's not so much about pews and the music, right? It's when you really get into a connection of giving, like, God, you're here and I see you and I love you. That's what we don't want to end. And when we're doing that together. But declaring God's praise, we're supposed to do that together. So I've got one more idea for you on, like, what do we do about it? It's not just show up to worship services. This person's got some paint out there crafting a question. That's like the best image I could have for crafting a question. We're going to talk to a lot of people this week. Some of them, you know, believe in Jesus, or at least they say they believe in Jesus. What if you crafted a question this week to help other people praise Jesus, right? It could be as simple as when you meet with somebody, instead of saying, like, how are you doing, or talking about the weather or something, like, totally fruitless, what if you said, like, what's something you're grateful for? It's a pretty easy question. Most people can answer it, but it gets them moving towards gratitude, right? You could go even a little deeper than that. Like, when's the time when Jesus was there for you? Or tell me about a time when Jesus showed up for you. Or tell me about this week, like, when's the time where God answered a prayer that you had? You can ask them a question that leads them into praising God, right? If our purpose is to praise God, like, help somebody else get there. It doesn't have to all be you talking. Like, craft a question for somebody this week. Step into that purpose that God has for you. I've got a little bit more. We're going to fly through it, okay? Because we got some baptisms. Okay, so here's our next slide. We're going to actually skip the do the next right thing. You guys know, do the next right thing. So if you were paying attention, I left a verse off. So this is the last verse of the passage we're supposed to read. It says, once you were not of people, but now you are the people of God. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. If you don't feel a part of a real family, I want you to put some trust in this verse. Like, God realizes, like, there's a lot of brokenness in our past, but God has mercy on our lives. And God is saying, like, I'm making you into a people. And I want to talk to you through a little bit. If you really stick with that, I want to talk to you about what's going to happen up ahead. If you're like, okay, I'm going to put my heart into this family here at Maywood. So jump over the grape slide to our next lyrics. The song I was sharing with you, Quiet Throw, which there's little lyric slides up here if you're into it. At the end, it gets real deep about this thing that I feel like took me a lot of years to figure out. It's like Jesus is talking at the end of it of, I love the shape of your weakness. And then there's like this excitement. Wait till you see this. Wait till you see. Something I've noticed is, like, we're all made by God on purpose, like crafted by God, Ephesians 2 tells us. And we're like puzzle pieces, I would say, this next slide. And you see that puzzle piece has holes in it, right? So it's got these external strengths, but it's also got these weak holes, right? But that's how we fit together. And if we cover up our weakness and we avoid our weakness, we're going to not bond to other people the way that we should. Like, the shape of your weaknesses is actually setting you up to be part of the building God wants to make with each other here, right? You got to have the confidence in yourself of, like, I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. And if I'm not good at something, it's so I can become friends with somebody who is good at something, right? I, for years, resented having these little tiny arms and never being able to lift stuff. But I became great friends with a guy named Peluche who was much stronger than me, right? And I needed to ask him for help. I didn't like asking him for help. You might not like your weaknesses, right? But it was a piece of us becoming good friends, was that we needed each other's help. And so if you're going to stick with this being the people of God, I think Jesus is saying, don't be ashamed of your weaknesses. Offer your whole self to Jesus, because Jesus has a plan even for your weaknesses, right? And it's a plan to put us together. And that Joel guy I like so much, that song is written by him and a guy named Dan, right? Like, he's better when he's with this other guy than by himself. And that's how you'll find in your life too. Like, more stuff comes out when we're together. Last idea here. The song ends with this phrase, I'm going to place all the pieces. Wait till you see this. Wait till you see this. I think a lot of times in life we're in the middle and it's easy to doubt God because things are a wreck still. Maybe your friend just died. Maybe somebody's sick who's a much better person than you are, and it doesn't make sense, right? Maybe you just keep struggling with the same thing over and over, even though you're trying really hard. If you'll hold on beyond what you can understand, Jesus is going to keep moving. Pieces are going to keep coming together, okay? Trust that God has a plan for you and that you are special to God. He wants to use you right now. Service, I want to pray a blessing over you. Let's bow our heads. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Go in peace.